What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
2 days call for cookouts and lots of laundry. This Memorial Day at Lowe's, save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Gas Grill. Now just $199. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep dishes, clothes, and food fresh. Having fun in the sun is easy with us in your corner. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See associate or Lowe's.com for details.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Today on another frightful episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, when a new family takes ownership of a home that had been occupied for decades by another family, they soon realize that maybe they are not alone, but this is not a haunting of the horrifying variety. Rather, protective spirits still looking out for whoever calls their beloved former residence home. That story and more today on this chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And if you like the program, please press subscribe, whatever platform it is you listen to us on. And if you so like it, please check out our support area, our EPP membership area. We call them extra podcast people. That's what EPP stands for. You get access to all of our bonus episodes, almost 400 of them now, all of our advanced episodes, and the whole archive, which is the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, going back to the very beginning, nearly 10 years ago. You get access to all of that for only $5 a month, and that helps keep our program on the air. And all of it's commercial-free, too. So you get all the ads gone, you get advanced, you get everything. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And thank you in advance for supporting the program. It's because of you guys that we're able to do this, and we are so very, very grateful. It's Tony and Harper with you on today's episode.
Hi, and no snow yet.
We are sitting here. Actually, she has a snow day today, technically, but we don't have any snow yet, but we're waiting Stormageddon. We're recording this episode towards the beginning of February. So there's an example of just how advanced the episodes are. If you're in an EPP, you're hearing this right now. If this is, you know, you're catching on the normal feed with ads, you know, it's like a month. So anyway, yes, no snow yet, but we are waiting and wondering, and they're saying ice first. It's going to be kind of like we're going to be a frosted cake, if you will. They're going to put that layer of fondant down, which is the ice, and then they're going to, on top of it, all the frosting, which is going to be the snow.
Is that how it goes? Does it go fondant and then icing, or does it go icing and then fondant?
I think it kind of depends what you're doing. If you're doing like some sort of design on the top with icing, the icing would be on top.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I suppose you could put something underneath. I don't know. I'm not a baker. I don't know. But yeah. And then to really simulate it very well, then you would take the spatula and an egg beater and just random kitchen appliances, and then drop them all on the cake. And that would be very good simulation of what would happen if we get that much ice, because all the trees start breaking and it just turns into an utter mess. So hopefully that does not happen.
Luckily, we do not have any trees that could possibly actually fall onto our house.
That's a good thing, but they could hit the power lines. But we do have the generator, so we are we would be good here at our Brewski compound.
And I did, as I would say in the last episode with me.
What?
I ditched school.
You did ditch school today, but it really wasn't your choice, because if you showed up for school today, they would send you back. So
I have a online school.
Yeah, you're doing that, which kind of sucks, but yeah. But, and then probably tomorrow and possibly the next day. It's that time of year, kids. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go down to our first story of the day. It says, my parents moved into a house that had only been occupied by one family prior to them. It had been lived in by a family for over 40 years, parents and three kids. The mother took meticulous care of her home, raised her children, and created a happy home. It was only fitting that she had died in the house. Long after her children had grown up and moved out, when my parents bought the house, they were surprised one morning by a knock on the door. It was the three children who had grown up in the house, wanting to stop by and see what it looked like with new owners. My parents were happy to oblige, and they took them on a tour of the home, showing them the upgrades they had made, etc. And they walked around the house. Children told my parents wonderful stories of growing up in the house. It was a lovely, idyllic childhood with many fond memories and overreaching themes. How much their mother loved the house and how she made it such a happy home. Going back and seeing the house with new owners was a bittersweet walk down memory lane, but it was a positive encounter. They shared a pot of coffee and then the children went on their way. Fast forward a few years later, my mom was home alone for the weekend as my dad was out of town. She was sitting in the living room enjoying a book while sitting by the fireplace in a cool fall night. It was a cozy and peaceful evening. For some reason, although she was in the middle of her book, my mom was suddenly drawn to look towards the stairs. She turned her head, and that's when she saw her. Standing on the stairs was a woman wearing 1950s clothes and an apron. She looked like she was right out of Father Knows Best. She wasn't a silhouette. She was a full person standing there on the steps. She wasn't moving or looking at anything in particular. She was just there. My mom didn't feel afraid. In fact, on the contrary, she immediately knew it was the original owner of the home. My mom felt comforted, like the woman was just there to check in her beloved home. She looked away for a moment, and when she looked back, the woman was gone. She never saw the woman again, nor was there ever any other activity in the house other than that. My mother was never afraid. She felt like they had shared a moment. It's two women, two mothers, who shared a love of that home. My mom felt the ghost never came back because she was reassured the house was in good hands. My parents have since moved to another house, and a young family took their place in that beautiful old home. I can't help but wonder if the woman paid the new owners a visit as well.
Well, the original owner must be trusting to, show the full apparition. Well, the full person.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually you just would see, a silhouette, and that just, to me, that's it's not trusting enough.
So you're saying because it was a full silhouette, and not even a silhouette, but a full, that clear, that's showing a level of trust on the side of the ghost.
Yes.
That's interesting. How did you come to that?
Because, with when they only see, a silhouette, the thing only kind of comes up every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But if we get an actual person, it's only boom, it's there, and then it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of shows that it's level of trust.
That's an interesting way of thinking of it. I've never really thought of it that way.
That's surprising.
That would be interesting to talk about with some investigators especially in terms of ones that go to place the same place on a regular basis, or even many of them own their own places that have stuff going on in, and seeing if, because in some cases they do feel that there's a level of trust that's built. If that has, you know, increased the level of activity or the strength of the activity. That was a really interesting insight, Harper. I'm proud of you. That was cool. Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next letter, it says, ever since I was a little kid, I've been completely enamored by the paranormal. I always wondered what was lurking behind the reality that we could see. And because of that, I'd often get into trouble. Going on adventures to abandoned houses, playing with Ouija boards when I shouldn't have. I set the stage. I'm currently a sophomore in high school. I come from a strong Christian family, and I myself believe in Christianity. One night, which seemed like an innocent Ouija session with my friends, and I ended up releasing something that made me determined to stay far away from a Ouija board. To basically add some background information, this all took place when I was in the third grade. Although, yes, it's incredibly young to remember all of this, I remember it more vividly than any other thing that happened during my elementary school years because of the large imprint it's left on me and my view of the paranormal. When I was in third grade, my great-grandmother had just died, and although she had been deteriorating for quite some time beforehand due to Alzheimer's disease, knowing that she had died had deeply saddened me. It was my first taste of the idea that people could actually die, and I was sad for her loss. But I also had deep regrets for never really getting to know her. She'd been basically a steel magnolia of the family. She was flowery, graceful, fun. But you were sure that she wouldn't take crap from anyone. I'd been hanging out at my friend's house one day when I had found myself rooting through her closet trying to find something for her. In the midst of my searching, I found a Ouija board. It looked at least a few years old, made with light, tan-colored wood, crisp, clean letters printed on the front of the board. Immediately, I ran to her room with the board in hand, asking what it was, completely enthralled by it. She told me that it was a board that you used to talk to ghosts, and that you and someone else put two fingers on the planchette and wait for the ghost to spell out the letters to words. To me, this sounded amazing, and the next time we hung out at my house, we made sure to play it. When she next came over to my house, we played it late that night with her sister, and my brother also joining us. Making four people. During the session, we kept getting strange responses from the board, saying that my grandmother had gone to hell, and she was burning alive there. This, of course, freaked me out, and halfway through the session, my brother messed with us all by pretending that he was possessed by the spirit of my newly deceased great-grandmother. And although at first, I was slightly freaked out, I knew deep down that he was messing with us the entire time. During this time, however, I got a deep-seated feeling that something was wrong. It wasn't with my brother, but I could feel that in the closet where we were playing in my room, that something was there that shouldn't have been. However, I just brushed it off as nothing. We quit the session after my brother had scared us, although some people can testify to the complete opposite. I don't believe that the statements from the board came from my brother. Sure, he wanted to freak us out, but he did nothing more. And drool and pretend that his eyes are rolling back in his head. I went to bed that night, as well as the night after, soundly, but still with a feeling that something wasn't quite right. After a few nights of sound sleep, though, something finally happened. I remember waking up during the middle of the night, suddenly for what seemed like no reason. I remember opening my eyes and seeing what was in front of me. I was so startled that for a few seconds I was frozen and unable to breathe. It may sound cliche, but not even 2 inches from my face was a little girl at what looked to be the age of 7 or 8. She had short black hair with her bangs lying on her forehead. She was in what looked like a red dress with white lace on the front. But the most terrifying part of her was her eyes and smile. This wasn't your classic cute, innocent girl type smile. She was grinning from ear to ear in a sinister way that sent chills down my spine. And she had teeth that were uneven, crooked, almost looked like spikes. Her eyes looked like tiny black pools with a slight red glow to them. When I finally worked up the courage to yank the covers over my head, I stayed under them until I finally fell asleep. I don't know how long later, the next day when I woke up and eagerly told my mom what I had seen and how afraid I was. At first, when she didn't believe me, I kept telling her what I had seen in as much detail as possible over and over until eventually she realized that I wasn't kidding. While I was at school that day, my mom went into my room and prayed in it until she felt that it was gone, although she wouldn't tell me what she had done until several years later. However, I feel like it isn't quite gone, just suppressed. Though it seems like the strangest times I'll be in my room minding my own business, and my closet door, where the original session took place, will open eerily and with no provocation. I've had horrible nightmares about my closet as well as things under my bed, and whenever a new friend has come over to hang out, they almost always remark on how strange my room and closet are, or how they don't like my bed. These people have never had any knowledge of a ghost or Ouija session taking place in my closet. I don't believe that this thing is good in any way. It's absolutely demonic. A few days after I saw the apparition, I told my friend what I had seen. And startlingly, she told me that she had seen the same thing. And she told me her story in as much detail as I had told mine. She said that it must have happened the same night that it happened to me. She had been sleeping and had a nightmare where she had felt a bump underneath her covers, and she had lifted them up only to describe the same girl that I had seen staring back at her. She told me that she promptly woke up from the dream, startled, and that she had, by chance, looked out her window. At the window, she had seen a girl with short hair, bangs, and a red lace dress walking down the hill to where our house was. After she told me this, I was incredibly frightened. It was no coincidence that we were both suddenly jolted awake in the middle of the night, only to see the exact same thing. After all this happened, I finally realized that what the Ouija board had said that night was definitely not the doing of my brother. During a last session at my friend's house with the board, I was on the board by myself, something you definitely should not do. While my friend was doing some quick chores for her mom, the board kept telling me the same thing. Told me during the previous session that my great-grandmother had gone to hell and that she was burning alive. Upon seeing this message about my grandmother, I promptly realized that it must have been a lie. Closed up the board and put it back in the closet until my friend got rid of the board a few years later. I could keep going on and on about other weird things that have happened, but I feel that I've already talked about it long enough. Thank you so much for looking at my incredibly long story. I have plenty other small experiences to share. I love the podcast. Keep up the good work. Thank you so much.
Your grandmother's burning in hell alive.
You got to add a sound effect to it. Ready, go.
Your grandmother is in hell burning alive.
Do it again.
Your grandmother is in hell burning alive.
I wonder if that's what it would sound like if the voice came out of the board. That's horrible. I mean, what a horrible thing to, you know, hear, you know, especially if you're like innocently thinking, maybe I'm communicating with Mike. Well, wait, no, you're communicating with something. Although here's a question. This could be something where it could go two complete different ways. Because a lot of people, I think, will immediately assume this is something demonic. This is something evil. This is something, you know, horrible and scary and all that. And it does sound pretty scary, but it could also just be a really horrible person that is on the other side. Like, oh, they're realizing there's a Ouija board. Okay, I happen to be right here right now, and I'm a big trickster. What's the craziest thing I could say to these people right now? Your grandmother is burning in hell alive.
But the color red.
What?
The color red. It said in the story that the little girl's wearing color red.
Yeah.
The color red in psychology is...
I'm sorry. This is just funny because you're a 9-year-old and you're like, the color red in psychology. I'm not laughing that you're wrong. I'm just laughing at just how kind of cute and how smart you are for your age. Because it's just like... Anyway, go ahead.
It's a popular belief that the color red represents anger and hunger.
Okay.
So that And seeing the little girl wearing the color red can usually represent, like, oh, I'm really angry with you for some sort of reason. I don't know much about the color white, but the red, it if it's said to be like the main part of the dress, that's the main part of the story.
Okay.
That the ghost is actually angry.
You know, this is funny. And thank you for that. I think that's interesting. As parents, a lot of times we are like, what are they watching? Because you all watch things very differently than we did when we were kids. We had like a 30-minute program that we would watch, or an hour, whatever. And it was ever really on TV. You guys watch like snippets of randomness all day long on TikTok, on YouTube, and whatever. And each one can be very different and inform you of many different things. That's why it's so fascinating, like just the random facts, you know, that like, huh? And it's like, in the past, you would have like had to have studied this. You wouldn't just come across these random facts unless you're, I don't know, reading a random facts book from the library or something. But you guys, every day, it's like information, information, information. And you're loaded up on so many different things from so many different areas. It's just so interesting because you can be like very informed and an expert, like into a crazy way on like one little sliver of a topic. Then you ask about something else on the topic and you're like, I have no idea. But it's because y'all get these nuggets of things in such like potent ways. I don't know. It's interesting and funny. And yeah, I can't accuse you of like just rotting your brain watching things that are useless. You actually are absorbing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, no kidding.
You're going to be great for trivia night when you're an adult. And everybody's like, oh, Harper knows all sorts of random things. Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Let's try and get to this call here and take a listen. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Good morning, Tony, Todd, Harper, and Carol. I always enjoy listening to you all even just talk or tell the stories and then kind of meeting of the minds after the story. And I've been an EPP now for several years. I've already called in for one story. Mine are always brief. This one actually has to do with a cell phone. So over, I think it was 15 years ago, me and a group of us, my boyfriend at the time, we all went to a place called Black Moon Manor. It was in Indiana. And it was, I think it was an asylum at one time, but I do know that several people have died there. It was a smallpox. So whenever you have smallpox, you went there and got hopefully nursed back to health, or actually comforted, I guess, until you passed away. And it has since been knocked down. I know Ghost Adventures went there as well, but this was well after the time I had gone. So I think there was 8 of us that had gone, and like most adventures that you go on for overnight, there's so many people that you really, at least my experiences, and I've been on several, you don't really seem to catch much unless you're by yourself or with a few other people. So, but at this point, there were so many people there. I think that there were 4 or 5 groups of us. So when you went in, it was decorated like a haunted house because I believe the guy used it as a haunted house during Halloween. And so you already have the creepy vibe as you're walking in, but it's actually kind of, it looked small from the outside, but when you went inside, there were many, many rooms. And let's see. So yeah, there was, when you first walked in there, there was like a lobby, and then there was a kitchen, if I remember correctly, to the left. And then there was a living room area to the right. So we kind of scouted out through all of it. And it was just old and run down. And like I said, decorated for Halloween. We went upstairs and there was supposed to be a room where children, you heard children play or laugh. And they had the dolls and the ball out. Several of us sat inside there. while many other people were outside. So we did have it to ourselves on the second floor for a little while. Nothing happened. But you could hear the scuffling also of the people from down below. So we kind of finished up there. It was when we went to the basement that there seemed to be activity, and I was quite shocked about it. So actually there were quite a few people down there, and there was actually a guy there with his little boy, and we all used flashlights. They said use flashlights to communicate with the spirit or spirits. And there were several different kinds of flashlights. The ones that you turn the knob, the ones that you clicked on the handle or on the butt of the handle. And we put ours out. Back in the day, I had a BlackBerry. I loved my BlackBerry. Anyway, so I took it down there with me. And because of what was going on and what was being said, I started recording it. And we did. We talked. Even I did. Asked several questions. And every single flashlight answered unanimously. It all answered. And so we had first told him to hit it twice. Yes, once, no. Some were a little dim, but they went out. But every single, I think that there were five maybe flashlights out there. Like I said, it's been several years ago, 15 years ago. Five flashlights sitting out there. We would ask, are you a child? Yes. Every one of them lit up two times. Yeah, we asked, are you male and female? Sometimes they dimmed, and one of the people there said sometimes it's because there might be several, and there might be both boy and girl. So, but every single one of these flashlights came on and answered at the same time. So we asked several other questions. Were you hurt? Were you sick? Yes. They flashed twice for sick. Did you die here? Yes. Twice. Are you in a cemetery outside? Yes. Twice. There were a few that weren't answered at all. But again, they all answered or did not answer at the same time. And yes, there is a there was a cemetery outside of the of this asylum and or hospital, I guess you could call it. And because the path to the cemetery even had like written on the sign asylum something, because again, the guy decorated for Halloween. So it was over, a new group was coming down, and I was going to stop my recorder. And then all of a sudden my BlackBerry started flashing black and white because everybody could see it in the basement. And some people were like, what's going on? I'm like, I have no clue. It was like whenever you watch a TV and the TV loses all the stations and it's the black and white and the fuzz. There was no fuzz. So, but the black and white. And then all of a sudden my phone went out, just went off completely. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I just need to charge it. So we get upstairs, we leave, and this is around, oh my word, 1 o'clock in the morning, because you're there for quite a while. And I'm charging it. And when we're almost home, which was about, I think, a 2.5 hour drive, I tried to turn it on. It would not come on. Next day, would not come on. Could not figure out what was going on. Finally, after charging it for over 2 days, it did come back on. And I have only the pictures, no recording whatsoever. It was just gone. It was just like they were saying, we don't want you sharing this with anybody. It was the strangest thing, but it was a really great experience. And it was so sad when Black Moon Manor was torn down. But I'm sure many people have had experiences there as well. And again, like I said, Ghost Adventures did go there. Can't remember. I'm sure they found something there, but anyway, thanks for doing this. I thoroughly enjoy all of you and your stories and your feedback. And I do have a few other stories that maybe Harper might like later. Thank you for everything. Have a great day. Bye.
With the flashlights dimming, I almost kind of think that because the flashlights are already kind of like at their max light when you turn them on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever light you can get the highest to. And I imagine that's what you would have used. And with the law of flashlights dimming, I imagine that the energy was so strong that it was almost like overpowering the flashlights.
We're sucking the energy out of it, and that's why it's dimming, because it's not getting...
Probably.
That's what would make sense. Yeah, I mean, and another interesting thing with that, because you can have it the opposite way too, I think, sometimes, where suddenly they get brighter, like you get flashes of extra brightness because there's more juice there suddenly. I think any way it flows, whether it's darker or lighter, there's some sort of energy that's affecting the flashlight.
But at the very end, when they were like almost like about done and they stopped asking questions,
mm-hmm.
and the flashlight started to go, I almost kind of think that might have been like something trying to attach itself to the flashlight.
Possibly, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities in that story, but very interesting one.
Yeah.
I liked it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. And that's going to wrap up today's episode of the program. If you like it, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Get access to our archive of episodes, all of them completely commercial free. You can binge away and just enjoy. Get all the bonus episodes. Everything is there. Keep us on the air and check it out. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Harper, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made, because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.